How's everybody doing tonight?
I'm great.
Now, we're definitely not going to be here long tonight because of the weather advisory. But I just have to put a word out, so, and we'll go from there. And I got a question to ask. Does everybody bear fruit?
Yes.
Does everybody bear fruit?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, let's see what it says. Let's go on the word. Okay, this is Jesus talking. And I'm starting off with this. It says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And what we're talking about tonight is going from milk to meat. Getting from the milk to the meat. When we were children, they fed us milk because that was all we could handle. And you get milk in you, and it makes you stronger. Milk takes you to a place where you get the nutrition and things that you need. But when you're 19 years old and all you're drinking is milk, something is a problem. It becomes problematic. When you're 35 years old and all your diet consists of is milk, then there's a problem. When you're 50 and all your diet consists of is milk, then there's a problem. So when I say this, I have to look back at my own life and wonder what took me so long to get saved. I have to ask myself, what took me so long to get saved? Because I was in the church as a child. My parents took me to church as a child. And I went back and forth and did my thing. But as I got older and I started getting myself in trouble and different things, I came around to church again. And I learned the word. Is learning the word enough? Learning the word was obviously not enough for me. Because it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges. So he said that the vine, he's the vine and we're the branches. We're attached to him. As long as we're in him, we're going to bear fruit. But see, here's the thing. If I'm attached to him, why am I not bearing fruit? I had to ask myself, am I really attached to him? See, because I had to understand something. Everything is going to bear fruit somewhere or another if it's not torn away. If you're still growing, you're bearing fruit. But that doesn't mean you're bearing good fruit. See, I took a course in Master Gardener at Purdue. And you know what's the definition of a weed? Anybody know the definition of a weed?
A fake plant.
A weed, and I used to think the same thing. I thought a weed was just something ugly growing in the ground. But I learned through Master Gardener that's not what a weed is. A weed is any plant or flower growing in the wrong place. If you got a rose growing in the middle of your cornfield, it's a weed because it's in the way. It's in the way. That's not what you intended. You want to go out and get corn to feed people. You don't need a rose in the middle of the cornfield. So if you're a saint, how are you growing in the dope house? If you're a saint, why are you in the liquor store, in the bars all the time? Uh-oh. You're a saint, why are you hanging out at the casino? Uh-oh. Because you're going to grow some fruit. You're going to grow the fruit that grows in the dope house. Yeah. Wow. You're going to grow the fruit that grows in the liquor store. Wow. You're going to grow the fruit that grows in the casino. In order to be attached to grow good fruit, you have to be attached to the vine. You have to be attached to the Lord. And at some point, you've got to get to the point where you understand that it isn't about pretending. It isn't about looking a right way. We are too caught up today in a social club. Church has become a social club, and we're a nicey-nicey place where we don't say things to offend anybody, or we don't get on or anybody. We talk real nice, and we don't talk about your issues. Because if we talk about your issues, you might not come back, and that's less money in the offering tray. So in the church, it's okay. Today's church is okay to sit around and have a homosexual couple talking about we'll marry you, and you can sit right up front. It's okay in today's church to still know that somebody drunk all Saturday night and getting high Saturday night, but come in tomorrow and play the organ because you're a good keyboard player. It's a good thing that you can have a person that's a dope fiend all week and shack it up, but leading praise and worship come Sunday morning. And we wonder why we're not bearing fruit. Because we have become a society that's okay with not bearing fruit. We've become a society. You know how long ago I come around even this room. I should have been saved a long time ago. You know, after I met the Lord way back, some years and years ago, I went to prison probably four times after that. Got shot in the head. All kind of things, because I was always playing this game. I want to come around and I'm looking for somebody to do something for me. I'm looking for my sponsor to carry me. I'm looking for my mentor to cover me. See, and it's okay to help to someone along the way. It's okay for me to get somebody to come alongside me and help me out. But I had such a misunderstanding of what it was to bear fruit. The Bible says you shall know a tree by the fruit that it bears. But anytime you come, see, a lot of people don't like to hear me talk because they say I'm aggressive. They say I'm offensive. And here's what I have to say about that. If what I just said offended you, and it's true, if what I just said about you or towards you or you think it's about you and it offends you, but it's true, then who should you get mad at? Yeah. Why would I get mad if somebody tell me, man, your breath stinks, Lyle? Why don't I take me down to it? Why don't I fix it? Why don't I brush my teeth? Why would I get mad or offended at you because I'm carrying a problem that offends other people and you're telling me I'd rather not be offended by that problem? See, what we do is we walk around in a circle. Just turn in a circle of dead repentance. Of dead repentance. And sometimes, let me step back for a minute. Put your chair back. I'm going to use it for example. Let's pull your chair back. Now, if I walk past here, I come over here, and I step on his foot. Oh, man, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I didn't mean to do that. And I turn around and go this way. I come back a little while later. I step on his foot. Oh, man, hey, man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. And I walk away. I come back a little while later. Step on his foot. Hey, man, it's okay for him to say, hey, listen, brother, I love you, but you need to find a better way to go. Because this isn't working. See, we don't want to do that. We don't want to set boundaries. We don't want to set boundaries. And I'm steady looking at a circle, the same old pattern of dead works. Same old pattern of dead works. Repenting for the same thing I repented for last year, which I repented for the year before, which I repented for the year before, which I repented for the year before, which I repented for the year before. I had to get to a place where I understand it. Get out of the circle. Get out of walking around in circles. Stop repenting for the same old thing because it's a choice. I don't care what you say. There's nobody in this room like dope any better than I did. And see, people ask me, why you get high? You know, you go around to these clinical circles, and they'll say, well, why did you get high? Well, I got high because when I was a child, I got bullied. Well, I got high because we didn't have any clothes when we was little. Well, I got high because that's not the truth. I got high because I got curious one time. I tried it and I liked it. Well, I got high. Had nothing to do with my mama breastfeeding me. It had nothing to do with my daddy doing nothing else. It had nothing to do with my girlfriend leaving me. I got high because I liked it. I got high if something happened. I got high if something didn't happen. It didn't make no difference. But I had to come to a place of telling the truth. I can't repent. First off, I had to understand what repent means. So I used to think repent would say I'm sorry. But I stepped on this man's foot, I don't know how many times. Am I really sorry? If I'm sorry, I won't do it again. If I'm sorry, I'll do my best not to do the same thing and keep continuing that same old behavior. That's what being repenting is. And even, yeah, we make mistakes. And I have this argument with several different people about, do we all sin every day? Some people seem to think that everybody sins every day. That's not true. That's not true. That's a lie from hell. That's not true. If you sin every day, what's the sense in me being saved? Why get saved? Why would I get saved if he's saved? And he's sinning every day, and he's still going to heaven. Why don't I get me a bag of rocks and two girls and get back to the hotel and get back to business as usual? See, because there were my sins. There were my sins. And see, people do that. We say that because we don't want to try to come out. And when we do that, we limit God. We don't limit ourselves. I think it would be a pretty sad God that couldn't keep me one day if I want to be kept, Marvin. If I want to be kept just one day. If I say, God, can you keep me from sinning one day? And if that being said, if he can't keep me, then we need to change some verses too in the Bible. The one verse we want to change is, greater is he that's in the world than he that's in me. We ought to say that. Because that's what that would be. That's exactly what that would be. You know, we go back and we say, we use the verses and we take them out of context. We say, well, the verse says we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Here's my Bible. Show me where it says that. Anybody, I challenge anybody. I put a $100 bill up on the table. Anybody can show me in the Bible where it says we all sin every day. So that's not what it says. That's not what it says. The Bible, the word says we all have sinned. There's a part of it that says we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That have sinned isn't even talking about the people sitting at this table. That have sinned is simply talking about because what Adam did in the garden. You were born into sin and you can't beat that. And people say, no, everybody sinned. Everybody hasn't sinned. There are people who died who never sinned besides Jesus. And when you say that, people be like, because what it's called is reverse anthropomorphism. Because everybody knows a child that was born and lived 3 days and died. What sin did he commit? What sin did he have that he committed on his own? What sin did he commit on his own? He didn't commit a sin. We need to learn to read the Bible and quit reading it like a book, like a dime novel. We need to read it and learn to get some understanding of what God is talking about. And God will give you revelation. Then I'm going to tell you something. When I read the Bible, I go to the men of God and I read with the men of God and the women of God. And I ask for help. I ask for direction and guidance. But sometimes I read alone. And when I begin to read alone and I get to a place where I don't quite understand something, or it gets to a place, I was reading one time, and just get off my course a little bit. I was reading one time where he was talking about Hagar and Sarah. And he was saying, Sarah, Hagar ran off because Sarah was mistreating her. And she went to the wilderness. And the verse said, God called out and said, Hagar, Sarah's bond slave, where are you going? There's nothing in that verse. There's nothing in that verse that could help anybody. There's nothing in that verse that would mean anything. I'm trying to get to the meat of the story. But the next verse I began to read, I began to get befuddled. And I'm talking about with a college degree. I began to get befuddled. And when I mean befuddled, I couldn't understand the next verse. And every time I do that, that means God is telling me, go back up. You just missed something. You just missed something. Go back. So I went back and I read that verse again. I was able to understand that verse. I went to the next verse that became befuddled again. He said, go back. He said, because I'm talking to you. He said, Lyle, I'm talking to you right now. I need to deal with you, but you need to go back. You're missing something. So I go back to the verse again. And it says, Hagar, Sarah's bond slave, where are you going? And then I began to think, I said, well, God, let me ask you something. Why did you say Hagar, Sarah's bond slave? See, I wouldn't have to say, hey, Donnie, leader of the misfits. I don't have to say that. I don't need to call it by both titles. Hey, Donnie, what's it called? I forget your wife's name. Kelly. Donnie, Kelly's husband. Why would I have to say that? So I said, well, God, why did you use both names? What was in that? What was that about? And then he began to tell me, he says, I didn't want to talk to the mother in her. I didn't want to talk to the mistress in her. He said, I needed to talk to the bond slave. See, and he told me so many times, Lyle, you go to the altar, but you don't go to the altar as the thief that you are. You don't go to the altar as the liar that you are. You don't go to the altar as the pervert that you are. He said, so I can't fix those things because you don't bring them to me. He said, I need you to come clean. He said, I'm calling out the liar in you. I'm calling out the thief in you. I'm calling out the pervert in you. And until I began to let God address those things in me, I couldn't bear any good fruit because I had all those rotten seeds within me. Then I'm wondering why I'm sitting around the church or sitting around the table and people who I think I'm smarter than, they're preaching or they're doing this. And I wonder, man, how did he pick him? Why didn't let him preach? Why he doing that? I can whoop him. Whooping him had nothing to do with nothing. It had to let God come in and clean up the rotten seed within me. I had to stop always being on the milk. And every time I go to church, they got to bring up the salvation message because I haven't got past that. See, it comes a time where I need to learn more than the salvation message. The salvation message is awesome. That's what saved me. The salvation message saved me. But now it's time for me to work on to go out and do the Great Commission. It's time for me to go out and do some things what God called me to do. And we have to ask ourselves that. That we come here and all the time it's not enough. You know, we get excited, but it's not enough for me to be okay with what he's doing and try to curtail off of his success. Because God called us all to a thing. He called us all to a place in the ministry. But we have to get to the point where we have to stop putting ourselves in stupid places. We have to stop letting we got to let our light shine. I remember one time I was still a dope fiend, but I was clean for a little bit. And I started learning the word. I was in a place called Abundant Life. This was 1995. And I was getting ready to go see T.D. Jakes that night. And I was going, I was walking from Abundant Life to the cleaners to my mother's house so I could pick my white shirt out the cleaners and pick up me a suit and go get myself ready. And as I was coming down, now see, I was a dope fiend still, but I was clean in my mind. I thought I was off the dope because I had been clean for a little time. I had a little time under my belt, you know, 60 days, 90 days, something like that under my belt. But I didn't know that I was still a dope fiend because I thought I had walked out because I didn't know how to assess myself honestly. So as I began to walk through, I had to walk past Hannah Buchanan Street. And if you ever know, if you know what Hannah Buchanan was back in the 90s, that's where in front of Percy's pool room where all the ballers stood out there. All the big dope dealers. Now I got on me a brand new starter jacket, got me a brand new pair of Nikes, some new Levi's press, and I got my little catwalk going over there, and I see all the ballers. And as I see all them ballers, I got $2 or $3 in my pocket. See, because, you know, I've been clean 90 days. I got $2 or $3. So I began to walk over, and I find myself walking toward that way. And as I'm coming, this is a true story. As I'm coming down the street, I'm coming down Buchanan, some little funny-looking guy walks by me. And he's got on a stovepipe hat. He had his pants, blouse, wearing all black, and looking crazy. And I began to laugh. What the heck is that little crazy-looking joker? You know what I mean? Because I'm from that neighborhood. So as I went past him, I went into Lorraine. I'm going into Lorraine's grocery store, but I've still got my mind on these ballers and $2 or $3 in my pocket. So as I look at these guys and the ballers, I walk into Lorraine's, and as I'm going into Lorraine's, now hear what I say. I'm going into Lorraine's, that same little dude was coming out of Lorraine's. I didn't think nothing about it because I got my mind on them ballers and $2 or $3 in my pocket. Now I just passed that guy going another direction way back there. Now how did he get into this store? So now as I'm walking by, I get under with the ballers. And now all of a sudden, I got that cat back in my walk. You know, hey, man, I got that look back. I got that lean back. And hey, I've got that, what up, baby? Hey, now, boy, now you looking good. Yeah, man, you too. You know, hey, because I'm going to slip me 2 or 3 rocks and get me a hit before I go back into this thing. So now as I'm doing this, that little dude, somebody tapped me on my back. And I turned around. Now I'm standing here with all these ballers, all these dope boys, standing out, a bunch of them. If you ever ran that neighborhood back, you know what I mean, stood out there. I looked back, it was that little dude in that black outfit. That little dude put his finger on my nose. And if you knew me, you know I was a baller, I was a rumbler back in the day, but you put your finger in my face. He put his finger on my nose and told me, he said, brother, you know the word. He said, why are you hiding your light under a bushel? He said, to whom much is given, much is required. Man, I couldn't say a word. The once in my life I was dumbfounded, didn't have a word to say. I'm looking at this little dude, and I couldn't say nothing. And he turned around. He had a dollar in his hand. He turned around and got on the bus. When he got on the bus, I turned around and walked away. God, I believe with all my heart, God has sent an angel to warn me, to say something to me. So you can't tell me that we're not entertaining angels unawares, because this guy, and I believe by the time the bus got downtown, that dude was no longer there. Empty seat. But what I'm saying is he saw those things in me that I couldn't see in myself because I was unable. There's not a person at this table or this circle tonight that God hasn't called, and he put everything inside of you to fortify you. He can keep you. But you've got to understand, I preached about this a couple weeks ago, about what is help. Yeah. You got to understand what real help is. Me giving you my money to buy dope while you giving you my money to pay your bills while you buy dope is not help. That's not help. Much as I wish I was rich and could take everybody, I wish they wouldn't be homeless. But I can't, I don't have the money to do that. And me doing that is not real help. But what it is, because I'm telling you, I came out of prison with about, I don't know, maybe $175 in my pocket and two outfits. And I haven't looked back. I don't know a hungry day. It's my best friend. He's been running with me ever since. I don't know a hungry day. I got my wardrobe is full. I got 35 pair of shoes. I don't know how many suits. I got sweat, every color sweatsuit in the world. And I'm not saying that because it's me. I'm saying that because God kept me. God kept me because I finally decided to look inside myself to see what was real in there. I wanted to be something different. I wanted to bear some fruit. I walked into the bank, and right before I did that, somebody came to me one day and said, man, I got a car I want you to look at. I went and looked at it. It was a Cadillac. And he gave me the keys. And I said, what you want for it? He said, well, just take the car. Just take the car. I drove that car for a year. When the car started breaking down on me, I said, well, I ain't got no credit. I ain't got no money, really. So I go to the bank. I go to the people and talk to them about the car. And the man said, you don't even have a credit history. He said, you ain't got a credit score. I didn't have a poor credit. He said, you don't have a credit score. But what I'm telling you, the people gave me that car. That was 2 years ago. Gave me that 2013. Let me walk off the lot with it, man. I'm saying I got my freezer so full right now, I got food sitting on the roof. I got a patio roof out there, and I got food. I got turkeys, stuff sitting out there. I'm trying to find somewhere to go put it in the freezer. And I'm saying this because God is no respecter of a person. You don't have to run that same circle over and over and over and over of dead repentance. You don't never have to spend another day in RDC. You ain't never got to spend another day with your ankle, with that thing around your ankle. You can start this day on and walk it out. It ain't about what you don't have, because God will give you everything you need. He supplies your needs according to his riches and glory. When Adam needed a wife, God didn't go back in heaven to look for nothing. He laid him down and brought his wife out of him. Everything you need is already in you. Everything you need is already in you.
Thank you, Lord.
But you've got to be honest and quit buying the lies. Let the fruit come forth. God start beginning to produce good fruit. Don't be hanging around talking about, I'm going by the devil's house. I'm just going to see what Tippy and them doing. You know what Tippy and them doing. They're doing the same thing they were doing when you left. Tippy and them trying to get you back. And the first one's always free. The first one's always free. So just be honest with yourself. Keep it real. See, one thing about it, I have some silly problems sometimes. But Marvin and Kayvon and Donnie and I sat down and I told them about the silly problems I was going through with a married woman. Because I'm not ashamed to say what's going on in my life, as I got to get these things out, because I've been wanting truth in my life. So I don't want, see, because, and I'll say, an addict alone is in bad company. Because I will sit there and lie to myself and tell myself anything, and I'll make it sound right. I will justify anything I do in my own mind. And then I'll get with the old Me Too fools, and I'll start to think, well, we can't make it because he can't make it and he can't make it. And then all of a sudden it's all our story. Well, you know, Sally went back. Did she? Yeah, you know, Thomas went back. Did he? And then my mind be thinking, well, it's only a matter of time before I go back. And then you get to them churches that preach that soft, lily limp, weak wrist gospel about everybody sins every day. There's nobody righteous. That's not true. There's somebody righteous, and it can be you.
Thank you.
It can be you. You in the righteousness of Christ, it can be you. The word says the fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. If there's nobody righteous, who is he talking about? David said, I was young. But never have I seen the righteous forsaken or the seed begging bread. There's nobody righteous. Who's he talking about? Don't let them people tell you that. If you're in a church and they tell you you sin every day, if you're in a church, they're talking about you can't judge me. If you're in a church, they're talking about nobody's righteous, get up, because you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. And if you want, give them my number. They can call me. I'll go over there with the word and show them that's not the truth. You can live right. That's why so many of us, and I'm not scolding nobody. No, I bet there's nobody in this room old enough to spend the time that I spent in prison. I got 20 years in the penitentiary. So I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about us. Because people tell us we can't be righteous. They tell us that everybody sins every day. They tell us that nobody can judge me. Tell them when they start telling that lie, tell them, get away from me. Get away from me. Are you a liar? That's a liar, man. My father said in Matthew 5 and 48 said, therefore, this is Jesus talking. Yeah. Therefore, be ye perfect. Even if my Father in heaven is perfect. And if Jesus will call you to something he can't take you to, that would make him out to be a liar. And let me clear this up before we go. I'm going to close up here. Perfect doesn't mean I'm going to always do what Donnie likes me to do. I mean, Marvin. Perfect doesn't mean that I'm always going to do what Contrell thinks I should. My best friend in 49 years. Doesn't mean I'm always do. In fact, me and him bicker all the time. I don't always go do what he thinks I'm going to do. Perfect means that I accept my faults and I do what God asked me to do. Perfect means that when I get nervous, I get afraid, I don't think I can do it, I step out anyway on the courage because I know God is carrying me. The perfect means that when I've done wrong and I realize I'm wrong, I'm saying, God, I'm sorry. Then I come back and say, Robert, you know what? I thought I was right, but I was wrong. Please forgive me. When you start to do those things, you're perfect in the eyes of God. You become available to be used by God. That's all he asks. He said, let my deeds be known among the people. Don't leave here tonight being a weed. Don't let yourself be growing in the dope houses. And don't you? I know guys say, well, that's the only place I got to go. I go to the missions where I go to the dope house. I'll go to a half house. Well, I don't want to. Man, I'm going to the half house before I go to the dope house. I'm going to the mission. I'll sleep in my car before I go step back up in the dope house. And that's what you have to have a made up mind that I'm saved and God can keep me. Let us pray.